All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing until we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code, ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? This show, I hope you understand this, it's already red hot because I was about to push go live. My fire alarm went off. I had to run off, break some stuff. There was no fire. But this show's going to be fire because I'm with the one and only Ant from 49ers Cutback for our first official Ant, the Coach Approach. 49ers right. Coach Approach. How we doing, man?
Doing good. Yeah. The alarm goes off, which means hot takes, right? Burning hot questions.
That's what
all
we're
the
known
puns.
For. That's what we're known for.
Yeah, we're known for the hot takes, especially me. I know that I just have so many burning hot takes out there that people just can't hold themselves back. That was, yeah, we're off to a good start. I think this is going to be a fun episode, the first one of the 49ers coach approach, and I'm excited about it. Our coaching angle continues, and if you're like me, there was a lot of things on film I was like, okay, not bad, and then there's a lot of things you're like, oof, this is rough. And so it kind of figuring which things you can build on and which things you can't is one of the fun things about coaching.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. So Ant and I have recorded together quite a few times, but we put the names up there and it was like 98%. It wasn't even close. So 49ers coach approach, that's what we are. Every Thursday, 10 a.m., that's what we're going to be. And the whole premise of this show is to kind of step back, and it's really twofold. Obviously, we'll get to questions and we'll get off topic because that's what we do. But really, things we missed live that we caught on film that were interesting to us, positive or negative. And then coaching changes to scheme, player rotation, play calling, whatever, moving forward. So we're always going to kind of dive into those two topics, and you can take it wherever. We've got some questions that were emailed in that really wanted our to answer on some of these things. So we're going to cover that. Love all the hashtag CCs. Love all the hashtag TCCs. It's the cutback crew, right?
That's right.
Right, the cutback crew, that's what's up. And if you haven't yet, no matter where you're listening, whether it's on Ant's channel, my channel, whatever channel, go subscribe to 49ers Cutback. Ant just so consistent. And again, don't go there for the hot takes. You go there to learn, to be educated, to understand football in a positive way, build a community. There's a reason why we do these shows all the time together. Rainier says, I'm back, John. Finally getting the hang of things when it comes to these live streams. That's what's up. When Rainier shows up, you know we're going to get some good questions. Appreciate everybody. Look at this. Juan Garcia coming through with the super sticker. It's going to be a good show. Now, before we get to film, my first question to Ant, the 49ers currently have two open roster spots with the moving of Javon Hargrave, and I think the 49ers are probably just going to kind of sandbag and carry these over and activate players next week, but that's not the question I have for you. My question for you, if you had to reward two practice squad players with these active roster spots to help them financially, which I wish the Niners would do, which two 49ers would you promote with those two extra roster? Because right now we're at 51. Who would you promote off the top to one of those active roster spots? You got two choices. Ant, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but I love it because you always know your stuff. Which two guys kind of come to mind?
I think the first one is obvious. It's got to be Sam Okwuonu. The fact that he's been stepping up in two games this year and played really well. I mean, this last game, you know, he got the sack, but he got pressure a couple of times. And I think he's been the most consistent of those guys. And really, they haven't elevated a whole lot else. Tracy Walker, he's not even on this football team anymore. They released him from the practice squad to make room for, Shaquille Brown. So they don't really have anyone that they've elevated consistently after that. So I think after that, you look at guys who have been around for a long time that probably deserve it just from the amount of effort and things that they've done. And you normally wouldn't elevate two guys from the defensive line spot, but I'm going to go ahead and put Alex Barrett on that list as well. Ooh. Just a guy that has consistently played as tough as he can on the practice squad. And, you need consistency. So he would be a guy I wouldn't normally promote. I just think those are the two most deserving. Okwuonu for what he's done this season and Alex Barrett for what he's done over the last several years for the 49ers, being available when they need him.
Yeah, I like that. Now, I tweeted this out right before the show. So I got 50%, which I'm okay with. I said Sam O and Evan Anderson. I also agreed with two defensive linemen. Johnny Dale says D-line. Like, we're all going D-line. It's just such a huge issue. So I got 50% of the test right. That's okay. I'll take that. That's good for me. That's good for me. And, my academic standing was always rough. Johnny says Barrett played out in the practice squad. Surprised he didn't make the original 53. Gosh, I love that dude, man. And it's weird because we paid so much for Leonard Floyd. He's been so bad. He had that one awesome play against Aaron Rodgers, and then it was just back-to-back bad games. I think he was the dead last PFF grade 2 weeks ago against the Vikings, second to last only next to DFF this week versus the Rams. It's just been terrible. It really, really has. Sam O played six plays. made a huge impact in those six plays, which was awesome. So that's fun. Bobo, appreciate the super chat, my friend. He says, we're expected to win, but if we only win by 1 to 3 points, would it be a disappointment to you guys? I would like to see a dominant performance to begin and end the game. What are your thoughts on Bobo's comment here?
You always expect the 49ers to be able to win by a lot more than, you know, 1 to 3 points. But I think at this point, you're just hoping to get a win. You just want to have something positive to build off of. And, you know, the old cliche from Vin Diesel, thank you for the Fast and the Furious, you know, movies. If you don't, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile, winning's winning. And at that point, you're taking the win and you're trying to build upon it. But I would fully expect for the 49ers to win by more than 3 points in this matchup. I just think that the matchup doesn't go well for New England. There's some things that they have they can use, especially that run game, which they do really well. They stop the run really well, too. But I think the 49ers are just a little bit of a better team at this point, and I think they can figure things out. So I would take the win, but you definitely want to win by more than three.
Yeah, I live my life a quarter mile at a time. I don't know about you, Ant. And so that's always where we are. I'm trying my hardest not to get Paul Walker jokes in right now. That's always my thing. But anyway, Fast and Furious, baby. So I'm with you, Bobo. The spread's 10 points. Yeah, both are 1 and 2 teams. They've got 3 extra days rest, but they're coming all the way across, you know, multiple time zones, East Coast to West Coast. They're not a good team, and they understand that they're not a good team. Obviously, I want to go out there and dominate. I think it could happen. The only issue, it's weird. It's not even like the 49ers need to do something to stop that from happening. It's just the 49ers can get in their way again. And I feel like that's kind of been the narrative with this 2024 season. You can't get out of their own way. That's what it is. And, you know, a lot of people talk about injuries, and the injuries are rough. We even started talking about, you know, 2 extra roster spots, all this stuff. One of my favorite clips, this is a 40-second clip. Kyle Shanahan was asked yesterday, how do you overcome all these injuries? And he kind of gets a little bit off track here, but I love this answer.
Every time you have injuries, everyone knows that makes it tougher, but people have injuries throughout the league, and you got to be able to overcome those. You know, I felt we had every chance to win on Sunday, despite some of our injuries. So I felt we should have been 2-1. But we found a way to lose that, which is completely on us. And when you lose games that you believe you should have won, it makes it that much harder. Injuries or no injuries. So I don't look into that to really why we lost. We had every opportunity to win that, and we made some mistakes that cost us. And that's what I hope we learn from. Not think about who we were missing. I thought we did some things that was good enough to win. But doing things that just good enough to win doesn't always guarantee you win. And you got to make sure you do it all the way to the end. And sometimes it's who can do right longer. And we didn't finish that to the end. And I don't think that has anything to do with injuries.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers just kept getting in their own way. Special teams, back-to-back games, putting us in holes. Defense not doing good job on third downs, not getting turnovers, not doing what they're supposed to do. And the offense, a lot of missed opportunities. Drops on third down, you know, from different players. Penalties and, you know, the Colton McKivitz strip sack. 3 possessions that were took off, and even the possessions you're supposed to score, you miss a field goal. So it's all about the Niners. This game has nothing to do with the Patriots. And so my question, and I'm with Rainier here, thanks for the super chat. If the 49ers did lose, will heads start rolling?
I don't know which heads would roll. I mean, you're so early in the season, making wholesale changes right now could actually have a negative effect. And if you're just trying to right the ship, sometimes it's just staying with what you got, but making subtle adjustments, whether that be personnel or even coaching looks, to go ahead and figure out how to best way win. And I don't think they're that far off. There's things here and there that need to be tweaked and adjusted. They can get better at. You can look at this game film and you look at the defense and you see there's certain guys struggling with zone coverage, and then there's certain guys struggling with man coverage. So if you're Nick Sorensen, which times do you put us in each, and how can you get those guys who are struggling a little bit better? How can we get Jair Brown a little bit better in his zone coverage? How can we get Mooney Ward and Isaac Yedem not getting so much caught up in the bunch sets and being able to get in man coverage? So we got to adjust our looks. We got to adjust the things that we're doing to put our players in best situations to be successful. That's the key of coaching. And I think those are the subtleties to it, is now I know what my players can do. How can I now put and tailor this defense together to make sure I keep them in the best possible ways? I think that's what they're trying to figure out right now. And now they've got three game films on it and how teams are playing them. And now they need to adjust, and they need to adjust and get it done quickly.
One of the things that just bothered me the most is you played against the NFL's most 2x2 balanced wide receiver sets, right? In the Rams, the most over the last 3 years of the NFL, the most. It's not even close. There's not even anybody else on the podium on the second and third because they do so many 2x2 sets. But the 49ers demonstrated they can't line up to 3x1 bunch sets. And so what do the Rams do? Yeah, McVay says, yeah, we're going to do a bunch of 3x1 bunch sets. And we've been terrible against 12 personnel. So the Rams, again, the most 11 personnel team in the NFL, they go 12 personnel. You put DFF out there, and it just gets bad. You put Isaac Yiadom out there, can't line up to 3x1. We're going to see it again. Like, until we can choose to stop it, that's going to be my thing. And kind of one of the things that's interesting to me that I had in my notes, I want us to stop acting like we're an aggressive defense and lining up like we're an aggressive defense just to check out into passive coverage, because we're not good at it. Everybody knows we're not blitzing. We blitz 7 times each of the first 3 games. That's it. But we're always acting like we're coming, but we never are. And so teams know that. And so whenever we have these guys that are pressing the line of scrimmage, we're getting picked. All those, it's just simple concept plays out on the edge. We can't line up into motion into 3x1 sets. That's what's got to change for me. Now let's shift that focus. Miguel, sorry about that, buddy. Thanks for the super chat. He says, is our D-line coach overrated? It's been years without consistent pressure, or is the back end letting down the D-line with soft coverage?
Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invest the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this. I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work. You put it in. You pick your portfolio. It goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Right now, Caleb Williams, all you have to do is pick over or under Caleb Williams 1 passing yard every week in September. That's it. Every single week. And so for right now, you could combine that, again, 2 or 6 of these, you know, things that you pick more or less. Christian McCaffrey's at 88.5 rush yards week 1. So you pair that with, you say he's going to rush for over that. You do more there. You do more on Caleb Williams 1 pass yard. Bet $20, you win $60 on that. It's so simple right now. So download the Prize Pick app today. Use code 49ERS, that's 49ers, and get $50 instantly when you play on $5. That's code 49ers on Prize Picks for $50 instantly when you play $5. Don't have to win. As soon as you play $5, you get $50 back. You don't even need to win. So it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition, now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42-millimeter marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean, now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers Rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ah, this is the paradox. Pass rush versus coverage. Ant?
I think it's both. Sometimes it's the secondary letting the defensive line down, and sometimes it's the defensive line letting the secondary down. That's one of the tough things about marrying those two together, is you've got to make it happen at the right time. It's no different on offense when it comes to the run game. Your running back has to read it right, and your offensive linemen have to block it right. And I think that's what's happening with the defense sometimes. They just haven't tied it all together yet. I think Chris Kocurek is a great coach. He's developed plenty of players, guys like DJ Jones and others, that he's developed into solid football players. I think when it comes down to it, they expect a lot more out of that defensive line room than maybe they've got talent-wise sometimes, and that's okay. But now they've got to figure this thing out. I do think that they are somewhat having tails when it comes to what they're doing. If you notice when they're bringing a pressure off the edge with Diamon Lenore and guys like safeties and linebackers, you're getting the defensive ends moving in to replace early because they're not going to have the outside contain. And I think they're kind of showing themselves and showing their hands a little bit early. They need to get better at that. DeMeco was way better at disguising. I think right now they're just kind of tailoring everything so offenses figure out what's happening.
Yeah, it's frustrating. The bluff and zone and play it, man. Really, I'm tired of the man. That's what's bothering me. Like, you play a cover one under and you're only bringing four. That's not who we are. It's not who we are. I'm not saying you can't ever play cover one, but usually when you play cover one, you want to bring five. You want to bring something. Our four is just not doing that. Jam says, you know, the defense not creative. Phil says Schneider got to go back on special teams. I'm with you there. Rainier starting to realize Wilkes wasn't the problem after all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. He at least got the back end to play all at the best they've ever played. Jair Brown, by far better last year than this year. Traverse Ward, better last year than this year. Demo, he's probably better this year than last year. But yeah, there's no doubt about that. Johnny Dell, yeah, front and back got to be married. Ours is like a couple living together while separated. Yeah, those dinner table conversations are quiet. We're not working those things. Malik, appreciate the super chat. Love the show. Who's playing worse, O-line or D-line? I'm going D-line by a mile here. Ant, the offensive line at least is run blocking well.
Yeah, I'm going D-line as well. I just don't think they're putting enough pressure. I do think that teams are doing a very good job with these heavy sets, going 12 personnel, max protecting, chipping on the edge, keeping Bosa and Floyd from having opportunities. But you got to figure it out. You got to find out how to get home, and you got to stop duo blocks. And right now, the 49ers, when teams are going duo, they're getting drove straight back, and that's not good. And so I would go offensive lines playing better, and that's kind of an interesting conundrum because that's never been one of the things the 49ers say. It's usually been defensive line is consistent, offensive line struggles. That's not the case so far this season.
Yeah, and duo, I will say this, and I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way.
duo where they double team both tackles. That's a part of our scheme because we commit to light boxes. The 49ers commit to 6 and 7 man boxes only. So that gives the number counting game for the offensive lineman easier. You're going to focus your attention on your combo blocks and your tackles a little bit longer. You don't have to get off on that number three linebacker. But the problem was that was always Javon Hargrave's worst part of his game. He's the worst that we have in our room against duo. Now he's injured, and I hope he comes back well. But now you're putting in guys like Kevin Givens, who I think play, his technique is the best against duo. I would always
tell my undersized defensive tackles, look, if you're getting double teamed and blown off the ball, grab the breastplate, turn your palms in, take a knee. Like, you become a speed bump. You let those guys get to your backer, you lost. Kevin Givens does that as well as anybody on this team. Is there anybody else in the defensive tackle room that you feel like does a better job versus duo against those power double teams?
Not right now. I think that Kevin Givens played it pretty well. I also like his technique being able to split the double team. He gets skinny, and, you know, he's not a big guy, and you can see his foot. He puts it in the ground, and it'll still be getting pushed back, but he does a good job fighting against it. They're not all good reps. For him or Malik Collins, I think Jordan Elliott could get this thing down and play the best when it comes to duo, but he's still sometimes hyper-aggressive and doesn't take it on the right way. So there's some technique things that still need to happen with him, but he's also been with the 49ers for a short time, still learning Chris Kocurek's way to go about it, while Kevin Givens has been here for years. So that's something that's going to be a problem for the 49ers. They're built to play from in front. They're built to rush the passer. They're built to penetrate. That's what they're built to do, not to take on duo blocks. 49ers could do a lot for themselves by being able to play ahead, get a 10-point lead and play from in front. And then that way your defense, that they can't run the ball as much. That's where they need to be. That's what they're built for. Right now, though, teams are hanging around and making plays and sticking to the run game. You got to give Sean McVay credit. He stuck to the run game the entire game, which a lot of teams wouldn't have been willing to do down double digits.
Yeah, that's – well said. Well said. Radier says, you know, our nickel play never improved. It seems like still a long way to go. Despite Green hasn't been playing nickel. That's been Demo pretty much exclusively. And Demo's done great. He's been our best man. He's been our best defensive back. I don't think that's even debatable. I almost said best defensive player, but Fred Warner still has that. I think there's three. I want to say four. Quality defensive players. Obviously, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, what he does versus the run. I understand people are frustrated with the sack numbers. Pay attention to how many guys are blocking him every single play and nobody else winning one-on-one. I'm going to put Demo and I'm going to put Hufanga. I thought Hufanga played good. We missed the game-breaking play. But here's one of my questions, and this was one of the things that I had on film. Hufanga played 37 snaps as that deep free safety. Only 14 snaps in the box. Is that the winning formula moving forward? I know you want to hide Jair Brown. He struggled in coverage. He gave up that 97-yard touchdown and whatever else. But, like, man, we've got to find a way to get Hufanga in the box. But are you too scared, or are the 49ers too scared to leave Jair back?
I think it's just evaluating strengths, right? You know that Talanoa Hufanga can handle both roles. And so I think sometimes it's better to have Jair Brown in the box. He does a pretty good job. Still not the Hufanga level player. I think that you're going to see this thing fluctuate from week to week. Talanoa Hufanga is really good about adjusting and having him and whoever's playing with him, his counterpart, not have any one thing that a offense can pick up on. So next week it could completely change, and you could have Jair Brown deep more than you will have Talanoa Hufanga, because Hufanga is usually the one that calls it. So I expect there to be some fluctuation, but I would love to see Hufanga in the box more. The very first play of the game, he makes the tackle. And it's like he's in there by himself with Fred Warner. They're basically the two linebackers. He steps up, he fills, and he does a really good job at it. But if he's going to be the better guy when it comes to the deep third or the deep half or whatever he's playing, he needs to be the guy back there. Let's limit the weaknesses of the players around him. And if Jair Brown's strength is the box, let's put him in the box and let Talanoa Hufanga handle everything else.
Yeah, that seems to be what they're trying to do. And, man, I want to put this from Basie Mayan. Would Wilkes have been better in this scheme if we gave him a second year? Would we still be dealing with the same issues? I think the biggest issue with Wilkes was he wasn't a Shanahan guy. He wasn't a Shanahan yes man. He wasn't a Shanahan yes sir type of guy. That's just my own interpretation of things.
I don't know. Obviously, we would be better now with Wilkes. I mean, you look at this is the worst the defense has been since 2018. Now, it's only 3 weeks, and D'Amico, whatever he stepped in, took him a while to get to where he got as well. And Robert Saleh, whenever he stepped in, took a while for him to be worth his salt. Wilkes was red hot from the beginning. We had a great defense, top five all of last year. At any point in the season, we were top five defense. Now we're pretty close to league average, and that's being nice. I do think Wilkes would have done better, but Sorensen, you got to give him a chance. I think the leash is getting a little bit shorter, but and I know we're all frustrated because we're playing terrible defense, but I don't think it's all on Sorensen. A lot of it is. Quit putting Campbell in man-to-man coverage on third down with no blitz. That's stupid. That's just dumb. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this? Just Sorensen in general versus what we've had at DC in the past.
Yeah, I think one thing to remember with Steve Wilkes, and part of the reason he was blazing, and I like Steve Wilkes, so I don't want anyone to take this any sort of way, but he also had Dre Greenlaw at linebacker. He also had Eric Armstead on the defensive line. You know, he had a healthy Talanoa Hufanga at first, and he had Tashawn Gibson at safety. You didn't have to worry about mistakes by your young players. You didn't have to worry about, you know, defensive line not holding up against the run game. Eric Armstead handled business early on in that season. And just having Dre. I mean, you think about if Dre Greenlaw's out in space covering a running back or a tight end one-on-one, no one bats an eye. It's a good look for the 49ers because Dre's special. But I think that that's one of the things that Sorensen has to deal with. Is he making some bad calls? Absolutely. There are some things he needs to get out of. When it comes to bunch sets, that's not been good. That man coverage hasn't worked. Their spacing, the way that they're playing it, is not working. They need to get better at that. So I think Sorensen's having to figure some things out, but he's also got a little bit different personnel to play with as well from what Steve Wilkes had. Hopefully this thing levels out and we get that defense to the same level that Steve Wilkes had it early in the season, but we don't know that for sure. This is going to be the learning process for Sorensen, but I think that we got to give him time. Give him a little bit of time to figure this thing out. I think Fred's displeasure that he displayed on film, I think they need to give Fred a little bit more opportunity to change some things at the line of scrimmage as well. When you're getting checks from Matthew Stafford and these other quarterbacks, he needs to be able to check back. And I didn't see that in the game. And I'd love to allow the 49ers to have Fred do that. Him and Hufanga are smart enough to be able to check with a quarterback and make some changes.
If we can line up to bunch trips, then I agree. And I'll say this, you know, just break it down. Patriots tape, they double check on defense as well, where, you know, the 49ers gets the offense gets up there, makes a can call or a flip call. You'll see the Patriots, they'll flip their, you know, play side strength, very similar to what the Vikings did to us, and it put us in a bind. So yeah, we have one of the simplest schemes, defensive schemes out there. It's paint by numbers, easy. I wish we would do some of the advanced stuff, and it's not the players that are holding us back, I don't believe. Now, I love this question. We walked on the moon. Thank you. Was there anything Sorensen did recently that you guys liked scheme-wise? We're not stunting as much as we were week one. Week one, it was just stunts galore. It never worked. And then week two, we backed off. Week three, we kind of backed off of it as well. I'm kind of at a loss. I'm not a big fan of kind of what we're doing. Is there anything that stood out to you positive that you were like, ooh, I like this?
Yeah, there was. There was a couple of plays he had in this game where he called blitzes, and there's one he called one up for Diamond Lenore, and he filled the hole perfectly in the run game. Dude. He was blitzing in the C-gap, and I think that we could have more of that. Let's not completely tailor it where these guys are going to come from and allow them to come off the edge. The other adjustment I like is putting Devondre Campbell sometimes at the line of scrimmage and go to more of that 5-1 look that Brandon Staley was known for in the Rams. I liked Campbell on the edge. I thought it gave a little bit more ability for your defensive tackle and defensive end to kind of do some things as far as the pass rush. They have to account for Campbell. And that way, too, he's not in coverage. I think moving forward, you could see some personnel adjustments with the 49ers in certain situations. I think they wanted D. Winters playing more nickel
in the
last game, and then he got hurt. So I see some things that I like from Sorensen, some timely things that he can take advantage of. And I think one of those is using Diamond Lenore as more of a weapon and a hybrid weapon than just having him out in cover sometimes. Bringing him on blitzes, he's right now, to me, the best secondary blitzer that I've seen them use so far because they haven't really brought Hufanga. But those two guys are the best.
You know, bring back the Shark Blitz, baby. I was such a big fan. And so, yeah, I think Sorensen just got to figure some stuff out, just get kind of in his wheelhouse and, you know, play with some confidence. You talked about getting a lead early. We were up 14-0. Defense kind of fell apart, but really wasn't on the defense. It was more on the special teams. That right. fake punt, there was before the fake punt, and there was after the fake punt. Brian Schneider is crippling the offense, defense, everything. He personally is crippling all those things by just not coaching very well. So I hope that changes. Now, let's go to some more. Let's look back, okay? What are some things that you saw on tape that you really, really liked that were positive? I'll start first. Or negative is fine. I liked how much Ayuk played in the slot. I felt like it was the most he has ever lined up in the slot in his entire career. Unfortunately, they traveled man with him, and whenever he was against man, he was completely shut down. But I've never seen him be in the slot so much in his career. Kind of reminded me a little bit more of like that CD Lamb role where they're going to try to cover him up inside. The problem was the Rams just traveled their outside corner with him in man coverage, whether he was in the slot or not. And against zone, Ayuk was open all the time. Except for whenever he ran himself into coverage. But against man, he was locked down consistently. He had that one huge third down catch on the deep comeback route that I really, really liked. But outside of that, man, you're talking first 2 seconds against man coverage. It's been an issue. But I do like that they're moving him around a lot more.
Yeah, that's always fun to see when Kyle Shanahan starts doing things out of the norm. And it was, they ran a fly sweep to him or jet sweep. Was that, I can't remember if that was this week or last week.
It was a little shovel pitch. Yeah. That was one of his five catches. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they did some things that were out of the norm for getting Brandon Ayuk the football. And I like the creativity. If he's struggling to separate on his own, let's find a way to move him around. And I thought that that really did benefit the 49ers. And that's why sometimes their creativity is very subtle and people don't see the creativity of the offense, but they're doing little tiny things that adjust. That make big-time plays, and I thought they did a really good job in this game with that. I also thought the usage of Juwan Jennings was really good in this football game, knowing the matchups, knowing the looks you were going to get, and then get Jennings to where you can slip him behind some of that man coverage and just allow them to overplay things, and I thought they did a really good job. This is what we normally do. You've seen it 1,000 times. Now we made a little subtle adjustment. It's a big touchdown, and Brock Purdy did a good job getting rid of the football. So offensive subtlety when it comes to some adjustments, but they did a really good job. They had a chance to score well over 30 points in this game. They left points on the field, and it was little things, little mistakes. Offensive line missed block here, you know, strip sack there, missed field goal here. Those things really hurt the 49ers. But overall, I thought Kyle Shanahan was in his bag. In fact, when I was doing my breakdown, that's what I said. Kyle Shanahan's in his bag in this one.
And it stinks because, you know, week two against the Vikings, Fred Warner, best game of his career, at least one of them, a losing effort. And then you got Juwan Jennings, best game of his career, losing effort. I thought Brock Purdy was awesome. I thought Kyle Shanahan was making the perfect adjustments and play calls. He knew exactly what they were going to do, got him to bite. It worked, but drop passes on third down. Like you said, all the mistakes. I don't want to go back through them. Well said.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold, LLC.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Now, I will say this too. The D winners play, whenever he came in, it was like, oh, we got some more energy. We got some more juice out here. They didn't get turned on special teams. Do you think there's any chance we're going to give Corey Robinson a chance to play? I mean, they kept him on the 53 to reward him. But then it's just like, enjoy special teams, because we're not going to put you out there no matter what, no matter how bad DFF is, no matter how bad the situation we keep putting, you know, Devondre Campbell in. It's just like, man, D Winter's not practicing yesterday. I doubt he plays this week. Do you think he gets a shot, or is he getting the Jacob Cowing kind of treatment?
Well, at some point, they're going to have to make a decision, because you know it, I know it, every other team knows it. DFF on the field is not good for the 49ers right now. And, you know, I keep hoping and I keep saying, hey, maybe DFF's going to get a little bit better, more time on the field. It's just not happening, and it's unfortunate. And even now, he's falling in open space when he's got to be after a running back. Like, he just literally tripped on a grass monster and wasn't able to make a tackle on Kyren Williams. And that's the area of his game that he's really good. I don't like him when he comes up to the line of scrimmage on the edge. I don't like him in his run fits. I'm just really struggling to see a scenario where teams aren't going to continue to take advantage of him. And at some point, you got to look at Curtis Robinson and be like, you know what? Dude, why not see what he's got? Yeah, give him a series. Give him two. Let's see what the guy can do. I think they do like him. I just don't, for whatever reason, think they want him over DFF, and I don't get it. I would have went Curtis Robinson already. I would have went D Winters the whole time. Of course, injury, though, has made it so he can't be on the field. But it's a struggle right now at linebacker, and teams know it, and that's why they're going heavy sets consistently.
The lowest two starters, and again, this is just PFF whatever, the lowest three starters of the 22 starters for the 49ers, right? All of them are on defense, no surprise. Charvarius Ward, he's got a 55.1. Then you've got Leonard Floyd with a 37.2. That's awful. And then DFF, 37 flat. Like, Campbell, 55.6. Like, there's just so many bad players. You've just got four bad defensive starters right now, and it's killing us. Miguel, thanks for the super chat. He says, improve one, DB ball skills or special teams. I'm going special teams. I'm putting all 10 chips. If I got 10 chips, they're all going to special teams. Terrible. Can you think of the last time the 49ers had a good special teams group? Like, you can go back to your childhood, Ant. Is there any time that you felt the 49ers had a good special teams unit?
I think probably 2011, Jim Harbaugh, first year there with Ted Ginn as the returner. And then they had the Tony Montana crew. I mean, they were really good at special teams. All three phases playing together. And, you know, we heard it so much that entire season, because I think that was probably the best special teams unit the 49ers have had in a long time. Guys like Colin Jones and, you know, and Booby and all those guys are really good. So that's probably it. I'm with you, though. I'm saying special teams need to get better. That's one third of the football game. There are points left on the field, and they put their defense in so many tough situations in this football game. It was really inexcusable from Brian Schneider. And normally I'm kind of relaxed with some of these things. You get better, but you'd never kick it, you know, to the returner in that situation. You kick it into the end zone. You kick it out of bounds. You do something. You don't kick it right to him. That was terrible. And you're one missed block or one missed tackle away from a big return, and that's what they got. And then your defense is in a tough situation, and you're trying to get a stop, and that's why you get a Devondre Campbell one-on-one in coverage, because you're trying to make something happen.
Yeah. And sorry, I misspoke earlier. I keep saying Corey Robinson. I don't know why. It's Curtis. I understand it's Curtis. Thank you, Vicky. You are the absolute best. yeah, I'm bad about that. Right here, Rainier. Wide nine defense doesn't work anymore. Time to evolve. I think a wide nine can work if you bring in five at times. We only bring four. Seven rushes a game, and we do it from very exotic looks that I hate cover one man coverage. When you're only bringing four, you're just putting everybody at a disservice because everybody's getting double teamed. It's bad, but I think the wide nine can work, but you better have better defensive tackle play. The Niners don't have that. So what's your assessment? Wide nine need to go? Do we need to change it up? I don't think they will.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to go. I think they need to get a little bit better with the guys who gets one-on-one situations. If they max protect and everyone's doubled up, then that's when the secondary has to play better, and they have to make sure they lock everyone down when you have those kinds of drops. But I think that you're looking at a situation where they tried to generate pressure with a lot of stunts. Now they're trying to figure out the happy medium of figuring it out. But you're going to get still now Malik Collins is going to get more double teams. I think it's time for Ettore Gross Matos to come in and rush from the inside. They haven't really done it yet. It's now time. A Hargrave thing probably accelerates the process. Let's get Gross Matos out there, three defensive ends, and let's rush the passer. Another reason that I think Sambo Kawandu coming up eventually makes sense. Let's get a fifth defensive end because we're going to have to play Gross Matos some snaps on the inside.
Yep, I like it. I like it. Yaffe says, John, where can I see the stats of quarterback snaps to release time? PFF does a time in pocket or an average time to throw. And I think that this probably deserves a lot of talk. Brock Purdy is keeping the ball for a very long, long time, 3.18 seconds, which he was at 2.3 seconds his rookie year. And then it was like 2.5 seconds, and now it's up to 3.1. Now, that's second worst in the NFL, Jalen Hurts. Now, listen to the quarterbacks that he's named with, and I think this kind of explains some of it. Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, Jacoby Brissett, Lamar Jackson, Anthony Richardson, Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, Jaden Daniels, Justin Fields. What do all those quarterbacks have in common, Ant?
They're runners.
They're runners. And so Brock Purdy has had to change the way he plays because the wide receivers aren't getting open. And yeah, that wide receiver, number 11, is not getting open consistently. Versus zone coverage, cool. Versus man coverage, not so much. A lot of the catches Juwan Jennings had, he was covered perfectly. But you could have trust in Juwan Jennings. If he's covered, you could throw him the ball. He's going to catch it. 11 of 12, 11 receptions on 12 targets, as opposed to Brandon Ayuk, 5 catches on 10 targets. That's a 50% catch rate. Like, that's the difference. Yeah, Ayuk does generate a lot of separation against zone coverage, and Shanahan even talked about this. But man coverage, it's not going there. And now he's got Christian Gonzalez that's going to be probably shadowing him this week. I do not expect Brock Purdy's time of pass or average time to release to get better this week. I think we're going to see more Brock Purdy running around, scrambling for his life, making plays. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that that's something the 49ers right now are going to have to roll with. And if teams do what the Rams did a little bit, was Chris Shula decided to drop 8 a lot and just rush 3. And when that happens, I give credit to Brock Purdy for not trying to make something crazy happen and sit in the pocket a lot of times. And everyone's like, why is he still holding the ball? He's looking for someone to get open. I don't mind that so much, but I think for the most part, he is holding on to the football. He's being a little greedy. And I think sometimes when you're greedy and you're looking for those big shots, you miss some of the things underneath. But I think he's just going to have to continue to make things happen until you get Deebo back and you get George Kittle back and you get Christian McCaffrey back. Then the reads are going to get more definite. He's going to be able to get rid of the football more quickly, and that will benefit his offensive line, even though I think his offensive line did a pretty good job in this game.
I think so as well. Obviously, you've got a couple of the Colton McKivitz, whatever. I wish we chipped for him some more. That's one of my coaching adjustments I really want to see happen. When you're in an empty set, there's no back. You've got 5D linemen. Chip for Colton McKivitz. We have Saubert right there. And they're in a wide 9 for the people that are like, oh, wide 9. Don't. They were wide 9-ing us and it was working, but we don't chip. We do sub plays. And one time we did chip for Colton McKivitz and it worked against us. He got bounced inside and Colton missed that one too. But give him just a little bit extra flavor, a little bit extra. Just Saubert, man, just give a little shoulder to that wide 9 guy. We don't do that very often. I wish we would. Vicky, appreciate the super chat. Is Mooney Ward fully healthy from his core injury? He's getting beat every time. I don't know how much of the injury plays a factor into it, and I understand the coverage issues are a lot. My biggest complaint, I've never seen Mooney Ward be so passive versus the run on the perimeter. That's where I'm just like, okay, that's not an injury thing. That is a mental thing where he's just being passive, and that's not who Mooney Ward has been through any stage in his career. Maybe it is injury-related. I don't know. He hasn't been to the podium and talked at all. Ant, can you help explain what is going on with Mooney Ward right now?
I think it's what you said. He's not locked in. I think we're seeing a disconnect mentally from Mooney Ward and from Brandon Ayuk. They just haven't had that same swag, that same energy that we've seen from them over the last several years. And I think it's displayed on the field. And Charvarius Ward is having some dirty eyes. He's making some mistakes. And then when it is coming, like you said, to the run game, He's a force defender sometimes, and there's no force. Other guys are having
so good at that.
Right. Always. And other guys are having to step up and get it done for him. And when you replace someone's role, someone else has to replace their role, and it gets convoluted. And I think that's part of the problem. At some point, he's got to lock in. And I know there's a small adjustment for Mooney Ward compared to what Steve Wilks did last year. Wilks wanted to play really well on the outside and force things in. And this year, they're going back to playing really well on the inside and forcing things out. And I think that adjustment last year saw Mooney Ward have an all-pro season. And this year, he's having some adjustment problems. So we'll see what happens. I think he can get better. I don't know if it's the injuries, but I'm hoping that this week he locks in, because we got to have all-pro Mooney. And that's how they're coaching him right now. All-pro Mooney's got to handle man-to-man coverage across the middle on Tutu Atwell. And it's like, that ain't all-pro Mooney, though. He's not the one. And I think they need to get – I think he needs to figure it out. When he does, they'll be okay.
Yeah, and, man, I feel bad for him. It's a contract year. And, like, his value's going down. Like, you remember it was like, well – last year, people were like, oh, you get to keep one, Demo or Mooney Ward, who you keep it? And it was like, oh, well, Demo's going to be cheaper. No, not anymore. Now, it's only been three games, and obviously there's a lot of football left to play. But I'm telling you right now, that contract for Demo, that dude's getting paid $20 million plus, like almost guaranteed. If he stays on this pace, stays healthy, yeah, I think they want to keep Demo. It's just... I know his agency has said we're going to wait till the end of this year, which was so smart. And he's betting on himself. I love people that bet on themselves. Nicholas Parra, my man, appreciate the super chat. Seemed like defensive free agents being brought in aren't panning out. Hargrave, Floyd are some examples. Is the system this complicated, or does it just take time?
It's not complicated. This is simple. One of the most simple systems that you can be involved in. And so it has nothing to do with how complicated or how simple it is. It just comes down to how these guys are playing and sometimes how offenses are playing these players. I mean, some of the things with Leonard Floyd is he's never played in a system quite like the 49ers system. He's always played more of an outside linebacker role with a lot of times five guys coming. And I think right now he's adjusting to that. Early on, they didn't help him in week two with all the stunts. That's not his game. And they've got to figure out what is his game and then put him in those situations. I think it's just straight letting this guy bring pass rush off the edge, use his speed and athleticism. They've got to get that right. And when you're looking at Hargrave, it all depends on how you grade it, right? Everyone was expecting double digits last year. Hargrave got 7.5. I think some of that had to go with who played next to him. I think if Armstead played all 17 games next to him, you're probably talking about Hargrave having 10-plus sacks. That didn't happen. He got other guys playing with him. And that limited his success. Did we ever get what we were expecting? I don't think so yet. But I was still hopeful that we were going to get some. And I think the Rams game showed that he was still a high-quality player.
It was his best game. I would argue one of, if not his best game as a 49er. And that just sucks that that's where the injury took place. Hopefully he gets better. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. But somebody's got to shake out. Somebody's got to pan out. Hopefully Jordan Elliott could be that guy who's now going to get that chance. He has more splash plays. He has negative plays as well, but Hargrave had those. Hopefully Jordan Elliott can be that guy. Alejandro, he says, what's the spread, guys? The spread for the 49ers game is huge. It's 10 points currently. The 49ers are favored by 10, playing at home, which is crazy. And if you're going to bet it, you guys know what to do.
You know football. You watch all the games, you know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for six straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino, if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit, and MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right. We've got more super chats rolling. Oh, man, you guys are incredible today. Vicky, so good to see you in the chat. She says, my theory is we're playing cautious in the first half of the season to avoid late season injuries. Our team was shattered by February. Man, last year was one of the most healthy 49er seasons of all time until it wasn't at the Super Bowl. What are your thoughts on kind of playing cautious and protecting guys, against CMC, all that stuff, Drake Greenlaw, a lot of guys out. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know if they have that luxury. You know, I think with some of their high-priced guys, maybe they were, a little bit with George Kittle this week. He probably could have won if it was a playoff game or something like that. So maybe with those guys. But they haven't showed it with Jordan Mason. They've been willing to let that guy roll out there. And I think that they just don't have the luxury with some of the depth issues they have at certain positions. But it could have been a thought process for them. I'm not going to discount what Vicky's saying here. It could have been. And maybe that's something they have to go away from, because if you don't win enough games early, you're not going to be around late. So I think they got to figure this thing out. Now it's just all hands on deck. You're under 500. It's time to go out there and win some football games. And I think they need to get that attitude to go out there and do it.
Yeah, that's what I want to see, too. Shout out to Jam. Would you like to see Cowing and Marshall on the field at the same time as decoys to open things underneath? I don't think that there's chances for both. And, again, we're getting another question here. Why are we not seeing Chris Conley? I place him above Cowing. If you look at the snap count this past week, you got nothing from Cowing. He got zero snaps. You got 20 from Chris Conley. He was out there. And then you got 30 from Ronnie Bell. So my question, Ant, who do we see most this week? Do you think Chris Conley will be the guy that gets the most snaps, or will it be Ronnie Bell again? And will Cowing show up at all?
That's what's crazy is I don't think we've seen any Cowing, going on. And I was kind of surprised. I thought we'd see him a little bit in this game, maybe like 4 or 5 opportunities for him, and we just didn't see it. And I know everyone's making a big deal about John Lynch and saying what he said on KNBR. I just don't think Kyle Shanahan feels comfortable enough right now with Jacob Cowing blocking, and I think that's what it comes down to. I think you look at Chris Conley, good blocker. Ronnie Bell blocks his butt off. You have the other mistakes that he makes, but I think when you look at Jacob Cowing, at some point you're going to get a little bit, but when's that going to be? Next week, Debo's probably going to be back. Ricky Pearsall's getting close to him being able to come off NFI. I don't know exactly where we're going to see him. I just know right now, besides a few guys, we're not getting production from the late guys in the roster. Conley does the dirty work for this football team. He blocks well. He runs guys off. He runs these through routes and creates a separation for other guys underneath. But right now, they're not really asking him to catch the football a whole lot. In fact, in his time with the 49ers, he hasn't been very productive catching the football. He does the other things. So they need other guys to play those other positions, and I don't think right now they feel comfortable with Cowing being that guy, but I'm hoping at some point he'll earn their respect, because I really want him to be out there on the field. He's got that dynamic speed.
I wish I was better at, videos, and this is negative, so maybe I wouldn't put this out there, but I would redo the Christopher Walken, Blue Man, the what's it called, Blue Oyster Cult, the Need More Cowbell. We need to redo that one, but with no more Bell, right? No more Bell. And you got Will Ferrell with his belly hanging out, but he's turning it down all the time. A couple people hopefully got that reference. Yeah, I don't think anybody really is excited about Roddy Bell. I want to see the rookie out there. And I hate to say this, Vicky, but Roddy Bell's got to be active. He does too much on special teams. He's a backup returner, shouldn't be. But until Pearsall comes back, he's kind of your break glass in case of emergency. I want more 12 and 21 personnel. I would stay in that almost all game, even if we're going to empty sets. I don't care, especially if George Kittle's active. But I'd rather Sauber out there than Ronnie Bell. Yeah, Ronnie Bell runs better routes and he blocks and all that stuff. But, I don't want a pass catcher on an empty set who can't catch passes. I just don't want that. What good is that? It's like having a million Prussian francs. You can't go to the store and buy something with that. You get nothing. Sorry, we got the history reference in there. I apologize about that. That one's on me. Right here, Raphael. Why is Mason not getting involved in the passing game, especially without Debo and Kittle? This one's rough. Jordan Mason has, I think, 4 catches on the season. 3 of those have gone for first downs. He has 0 drops. Every pass that has got his way is caught. I don't know why we don't throw him the ball more. Why don't you set up a screen for him? Imagine getting that guy in the open field. Good Lord. Any thoughts on why Jordan Mason is just not getting the plays?
Well, I think that they've kind of transitioned over the last couple of weeks to Kyle Juszczyk playing more third down running back for the 49ers and pulling Jordan Mason off. I think they feel confident with Kyle Juszczyk being the best pass protector, and they still feel as confident with him catching the football. I think as much as I like Jordan Mason, I think that Kyle Juszczyk is a better receiver than Jordan Mason, so it makes sense to me overall. So I think that's limiting some of his opportunities. I also think that in the Minnesota game, for instance, Brock Purdy just wasn't finding him, wasn't finding the outlet, getting him the football. I think that limited his touches too. I don't think it's a concerted effort to not get him the football. I just think that with the way that they're playing it, there's not as many opportunities as they would have for a guy like Christian McCaffrey or now Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah, I like that. Now, I want to transition this. Last week during the segment, we were like, okay, what coaches' changes do you want? We both said we wanted more play action. We did 3 play action plays against Minnesota. And I asked it, how many play action plays you want? You said 9. They did exactly 9. And they all worked. I wish we would have done more. Come on. Right. Those are rookie numbers, Ant. You gotta bump those up. So my question to you, Ant, what are some coaching changes that you want to see take place moving forward?
Yeah, I think on offense, you know, I think they did some pretty good things. This is going to be a different animal when it comes to playing against New England. I like the play action. I like the boots. I like getting Brock Purdy moving. I'd like a little bit more RPO. I think it's time to add a little bit more RPO to the way that Brock Purdy kind of is able to read. We saw the penalty on Dominic Pooney for being downfield, and I think that can sometimes deter the 49ers, but I like the way that Brock goes through and reads that linebacker. But the way that Kyle Shanahan moves guys horizontally with his motions and shifts, it allows those windows to be open. So I'd like to see some of that. We saw it a lot with Jimmy Garoppolo, and they wouldn't just run it a shotgun. They'd run it under center to him, whip around, throw that ball. And I think there's some opportunities
there. Purdy doesn't like that.
But I think that's the staple of Shanahan's offense. And yeah, you're right. He wants to see. I think that that's something they need to go to. So on offense, I want to see that. On defense, what I really want to see from the 49ers is finding consistency when you're in those 3-by-1, those bunch formations. And I think they need to check into some zone coverage sometimes when you see that. Just check into it and adjust, show the man look, and then adjust out of it. Just kind of give some different looks. It's time to put a little bit of chocolate on this vanilla and kind of change it up a little bit. And I hope they do that in this game.
There we go. I would have went with peanut butter or, you know, some cookie dough perhaps, but that's okay. I like your approach. You do what you got to do.
Small steps.
Some of the things that I really wanted to see changed. I love the play action. I want to see more of that, but I doubt we're going to get that just because that's not Purdy's thing. But you could even do play action from shotgun where Purdy gets to keep his eyes downfield, whatever else. Way less cover one. No man cover one unless we're blitzing. Don't put our players at a disadvantage without bringing the heat at some point. I want to see more Conley. I really wish Cowan would get 2 to 3 snaps, get a jet sweep, get something like that. I really wish we could do that. But if you don't, stay in 21 or 12 personnel on offense. I want 2 tight ends or 2 backs out there at all times. We do not need sets with Ronnie Bell. There's no reason to have those. No reason. And defensively, way more Sam O. I need Sam Okwuanu in my life. That dude is too damn good, and he's been good all through training camp, all through the preseason. Then we finally get to see him. He only played 6 snaps, and that drive was awesome. So, like, come on, baby. Let's go. Get some Sambo out there. I want to see it. I want to promote Evan Anderson. Don't promote T.Y. McGill. Now, I know, shout out to Jake the Snake on Twitter. As soon as I said I wanted Sambo and I wanted Evan Anderson promoted, like, he commented, he's like, that means they're going to do the opposite, right? And it's just like, yeah, they're not going to do it. But that's what it is. Rainier, appreciate the super chat. Oh, man, we're getting a lot of questions about running backs. Rainier says, Ray Davis would have been a solid option for us. Wish I could say the same for Garrido. Ricky Pearsall needs to be our X factor this season. And I want to partner that with this Aberta. Why do we draft Garrido over Braylon Allen? Would have been nice to have number 2 back right now that could actually play running back. I thought Garrido played okay. He still repeated the same mistake, which is like the most basic mistake in the outside zone. He will not press the outside. He gets the ball, immediate cut back, doesn't set up the blocks. Now, he broke a tackle. It got positive yards. It's not like he had a negative game by any stretch, but like the most basic tenet in the outside zone scheme. You got to press the outside before you cut back. He's been a part of the outside zone scheme for 5+ years in college. And still, like the number one mistake, he's made it back-to-back weeks. What are your thoughts on Isaac G? Positive, negative? Did you see anything else that maybe stood out?
Yeah, I think the good news is we've seen a little bit of positive coming from him. I thought he did look more comfortable. He let the game come to him a little bit more. He's decisive. I'll give him credit for that. I think that there's a lot that needs to still happen with his game. You're right. Pressing it to the sideline or pressing it out on the edge is something important. He should be running right up on Trent Williams' back before he makes the decision.
Yep.
And he's not right now. I think he's so worried about taking a negative play, and I'm sure they've preached that. Also, when these running backs come out of college, the difference between a hole in college and a hole in the NFL is entirely different. You've got to go through these little tiny holes. Elijah Mitchell figured it out right away. He was able to press it because he had not as good line blocking when he was in college. When you have Garendo, he's still got to figure this thing out. I think he will. I think he's going to get better. I love the fact he ran through a tackle at his legs. We saw it in the preseason too. He's got that ability to get extra yards and fall forward the way Jordan Mason does. But right now you're seeing a day and night comparison. Jordan Mason, a more finished, polished product that they've worked with for over 2 years, and Isaac Garendo, who's got a ways to go. But once Jordan Mason moves on from the 49ers, because he's probably going to be a number one running back somewhere and get a huge contract eventually, maybe then Garendo will be up to Jordan Mason's level as far as reading and understanding what he's looking at. So this is a slow play, and they've got to get this thing working down the road. The good thing is lots of tread left on the tires.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't played much. He's old. I think he's older than Jordan Mason is. He's 24, about to be 25. But he was in college for 6 years and just never started. 49ers traded up, took the backup with Braylon Allen was still there. But that was a weird spot of the draft because you remember Ray Davis went to the Bills, who was my favorite running back. And I kept saying, dude, this guy fits perfect, perfect. He's Frank Gore, mini-me. And then Will Shipley went, who's your versatile pass catching everything. The next pick, Niners traded up. 2 5th-round picks to go get Isaac G. Braylon Edwards went about 10 picks later. And we'll see. Obviously, the book's not out on Isaac Garendo, but he's not running the scheme. But they ain't got nobody else. So it's just kind of like they're going to keep giving him carries. Hopefully he learns, just press the edge, trust. And it's rough. You see it. Jordan Mason, whose trait is vision, like – Christian McCaffrey, his number one trait is vision. They see the holes, and even whenever there's not a hole, he's going to squeeze through a quarter inch. Isaac G is just not trusting. He's panicking, and yeah, he's looked comfortable. I love that he had that break tackle. It wasn't bad tape. It wasn't bad tape. But whenever you're seeing guys that just won't trust the scheme, you just got to press outside, man. So you're the fastest dude on the team, maybe. Press outside. And then cut back. But he's cut back before he presses. The blocks aren't set up. It's just not there. We'll see how it goes. And I love this invader. I think Bobby Turner can coach Garendo into a star just like he's done with Mason. It just takes time. He's raw. I think we drafted him way too early. But it doesn't matter if he goes out there and performs. He's got the speed. He's got the body. Just between the brain bucket, that's where it's got to come about. So, and this has been a fun show. Coach Approach. I'm going to call it a check victory. We totally won the day, unlike 49ers special teams. So any closing remarks before we jump out of here?
Yeah, let's get into the, you know, I just want to say that this game coming against the Patriots is going to be a fun one. And everyone, you expect this. Patriots are going to try to grind this game out on the ground. They're going to try to get first downs and keep the 49ers defense on the field. They do not have success throwing the ball. And the 49ers, Brock Purdy, expect to see him throwing the football a lot against the Patriots defense. I think it's going to be the 49ers passing attack versus the Patriots running game. And that'll be a lot of fun this week.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's going to be, I'm going to be screaming, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, the whole game. And I know it's going to be a heavy pass game. If they can get established to run early, the 49ers, maybe they stick with it. But the Patriots' entire design on defense is to force teams to throw the ball. That is what they want to do. So obviously Kyle, that's what Kyle's going to do. So this has been fun. First episode of the Coach Approach in the books. You guys are incredible. Appreciate all the questions and comments. And until next Thursday, 10 a.m., that's going to do it for us. And until that time, stay strong, faithful.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists like Kunle put people at the heart of everything they create.
The way that I approach work post-fatherhood has really been trying to understand the generation that we're building devices for. Here at the Comcast family, we're building an integrated in-home Wi-Fi solution for millions of families like my own.
Now millions of families can work, learn, and play together under one roof. Visit ComcastCorporation.com to learn more.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.